I think the way you word things is really what can change, the outcome of people that hear your words. And so when I'm writing a song, I don't only try to tap in from my perspective, but how another person's perspective will be, so that it's kind of like a connection. So when you listen, it's kind of like we're having, a talk, and that you understand the things I'm saying and the message I'm sharing with you. So I just try to do things, how I see it from my perspective as a young person, and then how someone older than me might see it. So that way I can try to get best of both worlds.
Hello, this is your host Anand, and today you are tuning in to the weekly dose of Third Culture Conversations. Through each episode, I sit down with some really fascinating guests where we explore what life is like growing up as a third culture kid. Now, whether this involves recalling entertaining stories of the unique traditions and culture of their own household, or the pivotal moments from their upbringing and family backstory, the purpose of this show is to see what you may be able to relate to, and to get you to think about whether you agree with the perspectives we share. And today's guest gives more than her fair share of thought-provoking insights across a number of topics that you're likely to have thought about before. After a representative reached out to me and suggested for her to be a guest on this show, I already knew from the first few sentences of a bio what an honor it would be to have the opportunity to speak with her on this episode. If you aren't already familiar with this name, then I genuinely believe you will do over the coming years. Bolu Adefemi is a Canadian singer-songwriter with Zimbabwean and Nigerian origin. And in the summer of 2020, at the age of 13, she started to become recognized by the media, both inside and outside Canada, for releasing her own song, Make It Right, which addresses some of the social injustices that we see in our world today. She has already received the Universal Women's Network Award, as well as the 2020 Youth Excellence Ambassador and 2020 Zimbabwean Young Achievers Award. At such an early stage in her life, she's already began to have an international impact, and if I started to list off her resume of appearances and contributions to date, that would add another 5 minutes to this intro. So instead, you can find it in the show notes of this episode, though I'm sure by the time that you come to read it, there's probably going to be more things to add to that list. Honestly, she really is a great human being, and it's no surprise to me that she was even asked to perform at the Canadian launch party for the release of a new book by Angela Sadler-Williamson, cousin of the Rosa Parks. You are going to love this episode, and I'm not just saying that. At the age of 14, it's incredible how mature Bolu already is, and we discuss how her commitment and passion for solving some of the world's biggest issues through her love for music has sometimes meant that she doesn't always fit in with people her age, as well as how she manages to stay grounded and focused as the level of media attention she receives grows day by day. And if you stay tuned until the end, Bolu has a couple of special announcements about what she has lined up in the very near future, including something that is occurring later on this week. So I'm excited to bring you Third Culture Conversations with Bolu Adefemi. Bolu, welcome to The Journey Onwards Presents Third Culture Conversations. First and foremost, it is an absolute honor to have someone of your credentials here on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. And thank you, really, because ever since your profile was sent to me as a recommendation for being on the show, I've looked into some of the appearances that you've already made. And apart from the fact that you have so many accolades and successes already, which the listener will have a good insight into through the introduction to this episode, what really fascinates me and what I'm really excited about this conversation is that for someone so young, and I promise to try and avoid always going down that path of mentioning how young you are and how much you've achieved already, because I know it gets talked about a lot, but given your age, the things I've heard you say and the fact that you've been on podcasts where they've had, a number of successful guests and inspiring people who are, two or three times your age, but still you were able to come on the show and say something that's made the host think, wow, that's an amazing insight, and you've made them learn something new. So it's amazing to me that you're already able to be such an inspiration. So as the premise of this podcast goes, I'm always interested in finding out not just the why behind what you do, but the how that feeds into the why. In other words, what is, your family backstory, your backstory, what your upbringing is, how has that played in to why you are doing what you're doing? And so that is really, really what excites me about today.
Okay, so, me too. I'm very excited.
And what I'd love you to start with is tell us a bit about the backstory of your family, and then we can get into how that is influenced or contributed to the upbringing that you had.
Okay, that sounds amazing. So I was born in England, but to start off with my heritage and background, my mom is Zimbabwean. So she was born in Zimbabwe, but she lived mostly in South Africa growing up. And then my dad was born in Nigeria, raised in Nigeria. And so when my parents like ended up getting together, they ended up moving to England because most of my family members were in England, my cousins, you know, my aunts and uncles. And that's where they had my first brother, my older brother, Johnson, and then me. And then when I was 2 years old, I ended up moving to Canada because Canada is known for its like work opportunities. And it was just a welcoming, you know, country to move to.
So this is really fascinating for me on a very personal level. So I know that you were born in London.
Yes.
And me too. That's where I'm based now. And I've spent some time abroad, but I was born in London and grew up here. But my parents grew up in East Africa. That's where they were actually born. Yeah. So my mom from Kenya, and well, my dad was born in Kenya as well, but he moved to Uganda when he was really young. And something happened in the 1970s, early 70s, where someone called Idi Amin took control of Uganda, and he ultimately led to the exile of all the Ugandan Asians who were given 90 days to leave. In sort of season one of this podcast, I interviewed them about their stories of the experiences they went through. So that was one of the big contributing factors to why you see Indians in a lot of places across the world. But for your family, do you know what was the reason that they left Africa in the first place?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I know that my dad says a lot that he wanted us to be, you know, raised in a place that he knows would be secure for sure, and that he wouldn't have to worry in terms of safety and stuff like that. So I think that's why Nigeria was crossed off. I know a lot of family members that have moved from Zimbabwe because there are things going on there, but I'm not really specifically sure. But from England to Canada, I know it had to do something with, I think it was housing around that time or something like that.
So something interesting there, which I only found out actually through one of the conversations I had on this podcast. So during the migration of East Africans, there was say 50 to 80,000 of Ugandan Asians who left. And almost half, I believe, went to the UK because of the, you know, the British colony connection and a lot of them having British passports. But what I found out is the second largest number of Ugandan Asians who left actually went to Canada.
Oh, wow.
I'm not too sure why. I assume it's something to do with Canada being very open to letting in migrants from other areas. So that's really interesting. I know it's a fascinating place. But for you, what were your early years like in Canada?
So it was basically kind of, I guess, average. So in England, I don't really remember much because I moved when I was young. But I know that my grandma, on my dad's side, would take care of me a lot and babysit me while my parents were at work. And then here in Canada, it was kind of like I moved a few times in schools. But yeah, it was pretty average childhood. And still in it, but yeah.
Yeah, that is actually very true. And it's a mental note that I've taken that knowingly, you know, when I'm asking you about your upbringing, it's also accounting for the fact that you are still very much in the phase of your upbringing.
Yes.
But on the topic of your home environment and, you know, the sort of culture that you grew up in, if you could describe it in three words, what would you say?
Three words? Okay. I would choose faith, discipline, and this is interesting. Oh, faith for sure, discipline for sure. And then,
would you say it was in some way strict?
Yeah, kind of strict. Yes, my parents always like try to keep us grounded in like our beliefs and what they've taught us, just so that we don't get lost in like, you know, the world and all of its stuff that it has to give. But I know there's this one specific word I want to say. It's like when you have your own like personal morals, I guess it is. I guess that's the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be in one word exactly, but I definitely get the point you're making. Mm-hmm. And this is really interesting for me, and it's also one of the reasons why I evolved this podcast into these third culture conversations, because when referring to people who come from a background where, you know, their parents or their grandparents are immigrants, or, you know, just the fact they've grown up mm-hmm. in another place and had to shift across, what's really common that I've noticed is that, you know, in a lot of cases, this immigrant journey involves taking some level of risk or sacrifice. In a lot of cases, whether it's a forced decision or you make the decision by choice, you are taking a risk where you're leaving mm-hmm. behind a lot of your comforts and
exactly.
family, friends, things that you know well, and moving to another place in a hope or search for something better. But it can often mean leaving behind some level of security and stability and just what you're used to. Mm-hmm. And so when this kind of risk has been taken, then normally for their kids, what they want them to do is maximize the benefits of this new place that they live in. So, you know, the schooling system, the amenities, the social equalities that are available, you know, and they don't want their kids to waste that opportunity that they've probably made some sacrifices of their own to be able to get them to this better place.
Yeah, that's true. The way you said that was just aligned perfectly with like how it is. Yeah, I agree.
Yes, and that reminds me exactly of something that I heard of you actually, which is when you said that don't waste time, otherwise time will waste you, right?
Yes. Oh, my teacher would remind us that, and that just, he told me that once, and that just stuck with me, because it actually makes sense, like,
yeah.
because time waits for no one, you know, time keeps going and never stops, and so if you waste the time you have doing things that, you know, won't benefit you in the future, then it's a wasted time.
Oh, exactly, yeah, and like I say, ever since I've heard you say it, it's really stuck with me, so I love that, so mm-hmm. thank you for that.
No
but
problem.
Let's get on to your musical side. So yes. I believe I've heard you say that you really started singing, or, you know, finding a real passion for it when you were five?
My mom likes to say since I was in her womb, but technically I started playing guitar at 9, but yeah, 5 around there.
Yeah, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back then, what did singing mean to you? You know, was it always intended that you saw it as a way of using your talent to inspire others? Or in the beginning, was it just something that you liked to do and you had a passion for it, and then the intention behind it evolved over time?
Yeah, I agree with the evolving part, because, you know, when you're younger, you don't really think that deeply. However, I did always have this sense of wanting to inspire people. Like, I always wanted to do something to help people. I don't know, it was just something that I always just gravitated towards, just finding a way to make people smile and stuff like that. And I felt like music, I'd see people sing when I was younger and just see people's reactions to music, I'd be like, oh, wow, music can really do this stuff to you. So although I would sing about like butterflies and billboards and just yeah. random stuff, music, I think my passion and, you know, yearn to aspire was kind of always there.
Yeah, I love that. And it's exactly that. You know, what's really powerful for me is it's not that you're spreading a message or a teaching that's unfamiliar to people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you're saying it's about respecting each life because everyone is human, yes. and that everyone deserves a fair chance in society and for love and for kindness.
Mm.
These are things that have been, in some shape or form, core teachings for centuries, right?
Yep.
You know, whether it's Zoroastrianism, which is, you know, pre-Islamic ancient Persia, where the teachings were about good conquering evil, or, you know, Eastern philosophy and the Vedas, which is very close to me, which is, you know, that ultimately we're all the soul. But what is amazing is that it's just how committed you are to it, that, you know, you've taken this love and passion that you have for singing, and you've tied it into this vision and really ingrained belief system for the change you want to see in the world. Tell us how that's played out in your social circle and around others your age. Do you find it sometimes difficult to relate to people, you know, your age, who may be leading what you'd call a more regular existence?
Yes. Okay. So when I was like really younger, I felt sometimes, especially when I'd go to a new school or just like meeting new people when I was younger, sometimes the things I would think, like the problems I wanted to solve, were not, you know, the things they'd be talking about at recess. And sometimes I'd feel like kind of left out in my own kind of corner. But my mom would always remind me that I was born to stand out. So I think that's what kept me in that kind of mindset of still wanting to do something world changing. And so when I got older and when I was writing, you know, COVID, my COVID song, When Life Changed and Make It Right, it was during online school. So it wasn't that, you know, drastic of a change when it comes to like the reactions, like face to face. However, I did get some good reactions from my friends because I was on their TV screen. So they were really happy for me. Yeah. But when I was younger, it was different. It was a different feeling for sure.
And in terms of your friends, do you find that they're mainly other, you know, third culture kids or children of immigrant backgrounds? Or would you say it's quite varied?
Yeah, most of the friends I have are actually immigrants as well, or have like, you know, a heritage from Africa or just different places in the world. And so it's easy for us to connect in that way. And yeah, most of my friends are also older because I don't know what it is, but I find it easier to connect with people that are older because sometimes I feel like the people my age can be immature.
Yeah.
I mean, I can too sometimes, but there's just so much wisdom that you get from people that are older. So yeah.
Yes, I love that you've mentioned that because the CEO of Universal Women's Network, she described you in a way that, you know, when I was sent your profile and I was reading up on you, what she said about you probably describes you exactly how I'd want, and I could not have said it any better myself. So she said, it's one thing to realize you have a gift and another to take action to make it a reality, as yet another to have the maturity and wisdom at the age of 12.
Yes.
And I immediately thought that is exactly how I would want to describe you. So tell us, like, what role did your upbringing and the values that have kind of been passed down through your parents and previous generations, what role has that played into molding you into this, you know, well-respected rising star that you are?
I think it taught me a lot. It really grounded me. And, you know, like as you grow up, your parents tell you more things about your like background, you know, your heritage and what it really means to be, like for me, a Black female and just things like that. But I think, I don't know how to put it into words, but one word I would definitely say it is that it is humbling.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, especially because I don't know how to put it into words, but it's humbling to see that like the music you write for people that have gone through, you know, things that have been painful and hurtful, you know, does touch them. So I think just knowing what has gone on in the past and what is still going on now has allowed me to just grow as a person, kind of.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that is beautiful. I love that. And it's just made me think of something. So, you know, through a lot of the guests that I've had, I'd say all of them have this inner ambition or this passion to cause a positive change in the world. In a lot of those cases, it's where they've been through some kind of situation themselves. And so what they're driven in terms of the change that they want to create is based on that, right? Mm-hmm. And then the benefit of that is, firstly, they can speak from the experience, so it's a lot more authentic and genuine.
Yeah.
But also, the people listening, they feel more at ease that they can connect with someone who's been through it, because it's almost like, hey, you get me because you've lived through that. So in your situation, how do you manage or deal with, you know, cases where someone will look at you and be like, okay, you know, she's doing a great thing, but they kind of look at you and think, well, you don't really get it because you haven't really experienced it yet. So you can't really relate to me.
Mm. Yeah. So I think it's all about the words, to be honest. And I feel like there's always going to be people that, you know, will be like, you don't get it because you don't understand it. You're not old enough. But I think the way you word things is really what can change, you know, the outcome of people that hear your words. And so when I'm writing a song, I don't only try to tap in from my perspective, but how another person's perspective will be, so that it's kind of like a connection. So when you listen, it's kind of like we're having, you know, a talk, and that you understand the things I'm saying and the message I'm sharing with you. So I just try to do things, you know, how I see it from my perspective as a young person, and then how someone older than me might see it. So that way I can try to get best of both worlds. That's pretty much, I think that's how I kind of connect with most people.
Yeah, I think that's a really mature way of looking at it, because, you know, it can be tough to come across situations where someone's saying, well, who are you to tell me, mm-hmm. you know, how I feel and what I've been through, right? But yeah. I love the approach that you're taking. And so on that, how do you decide the sort of topic of the songs that you create? So Black Lives Matter and the pandemic, they're obviously, you know, global issues, very well publicized. And so they're obvious talking points mm-hmm. that many people are covering. But, you know, beyond that, some of the other areas that you are looking to make an impact, where do you get that inspiration behind the topics that you choose?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, for me, like the publicity obviously does play a part, but I do believe it's more than that, and it's more of like a feeling because even like when everything was going on last year, 2020, there's so many, you know, riots and there's so many protests and everything. It was obviously an overwhelming time, but like I wasn't, it's just when I want to write a song, I get this like feeling that I want to write it. I don't know how to explain it. And then so it's not really like, oh, sitting down, let me just think of something to write. But it just all flows naturally. And so, yeah, but sometimes I do think of a topic that I do want to speak on or something I feel like should be talked about. Yeah. And then I just expand from there. But it's usually just a feeling inside of me. And then I just go on from there in terms of lyrics. So for Make It Right, it was, I had Make It Right, like for days I had it in my head, just thinking I want to do something with Make It Right. But it wasn't until I was asked to perform that I expanded on what I wanted to do with those lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. And I think that, you know, it's a thing that a lot of creators will be able to relate to. So, you know, whether you're a songwriter or a mm-hmm. script writer or you do spoken word, it comes from this place of what message do I really believe in and that I want to bring out there? And then it will kind of just come to you the more that you think about it and the more sort of priority that you hold to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even looking at my podcast and the evolution that that's been through, you know, it kind of happened very naturally as I began to realize what I wanted to bring out from it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the beginning, it was very much about the stories of my family from East Africa growing up there and having to leave. And then over time, as I began to realize what message I really wanted to communicate, mm-hmm. and it was, you know, what is it like coming from a third culture background and what influence do the values that are passed down play into the ambitions that we hold and the change that we're looking to create? And then you're right, you know, it just kind of, it naturally comes out. It naturally evolves in that way where you began to realize, like, what do I think I'm sent here to do, deliver
exactly,
as a message to people who are listening?
Yeah, I agree with that so much. It's like your ancestors or like your family members. It's like, it's kind of like engraved in you in a way.
Yeah, exactly. That's really well said. And actually something that I've been meaning to ask you is, you know, through all the feedback that and the responses that you've been given already, mm-hmm. and, you know, some of them I've heard and they're amazing. And like I mentioned, the quote from that CEO, is there one in particular that you can recall that's really stood out to you that, you know, you'll always remember and think that, wow, you know, I've genuinely had such a great impact on this person's life?
Honestly, this isn't specific. Oh, actually, yeah, this is kind of feedback, but I've received a bunch of nice feedback, which was surprising, especially when it like expanded and I was like, wait, what? But like the thing that's really touched me the most, it was about 3 weeks ago and I was in this interview. And so it was supposed to be one-on-one, but he had interviewed three people before that and they actually wanted to be part of my interview. Wow. So they came in and it was like all of us just talking and it was amazing. I learned so much stuff that day. But there was this one lady who, once they played my song, she started crying. And I was like, oh my gosh. At first I was like, wait, what do I do here?
Yeah.
But it was just so nice and so humbling and just, it's a great feeling just knowing that what you write and what you think and the message you have is touching people's lives. And she's telling me about how it touched her son and how he shared it. And it's just amazing to see. But that was probably one of my favorite moments that I'll keep forever.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? And, you know, it's so powerful that just through the authenticity of the words and the message that you're trying to communicate, you know, someone who doesn't even know you and may look at you as someone so junior to them. But like mm-hmm. I say, because of that genuine tone and desire that you have, it can bring out emotions in them that they either didn't know they had or they just stored away for so long.
Yeah.
And so, you know, something that I'm really interested to know. So already you've been on numerous Canadian TV and radio stations. You know, you've been on a Californian talk show and even a really popular Australian media channel. With all of this exposure, how do you keep yourself grounded, you know, with all of this sudden influx of media attention?
I think, I want to say, if I had to narrow it down, to three things, I'd probably say family, like my spiritual beliefs, and nature. And I would say that because, like, for my family, they always keep me, like, grounded. And there's sometimes I think it does get overwhelming because obviously this wasn't here before, like, the publicity and everything. And there was school. I just finished Friday, but there was school. And it's kind of like, oh, wow, I get all this, you know, stuff coming at me. And but with my beliefs and with, like, nature and being able to walk around and just, like, breathe in, I think I just try to remind myself over and over again, like, why I started singing and the message I have. And so I remind myself of this video I made a while back, and it was actually the first time I sang the COVID song. And what I said is that no matter, like, how many people this reaches, I just hope whoever it reaches, you know, that they are touched by the song, or that they are, you know, able to accept this message. And so I just remind myself over and over again why I started singing, and you know, how it helps people, and why I love it. So I think that's what really keeps me grounded and, like, humble throughout it all.
Yeah, that really is amazing. And I think it's such a good inspiration that there is someone like you who can act as this role model for people who share a similar passion and talent that you have for music. But the fact that you are using that to fulfill another, you know, deep-rooted desire that you have for all these positive changes that you want to see in the world.
Yes.
And I really believe that, you know, these are more of the types of people that we need. And I know it's something that you've mentioned before, but, you know, Justin Bieber is a great example.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, if he if he ever listens to this, then let it be known that I am a believer. But, you know, he's an example of someone that at a really young age, he hit stardom big time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that he gained a lot of popularity, but he also got into a lot of trouble or negative press. And,
exactly.
You know, I'm not saying it wasn't deserved, but he was also very young and still growing and going through that maturity. And, you know, it looks like he's really reformed. And, you know, he's an example of someone who's been able to go on that transition and use the fame and popularity he's gained to now spread this much more positive and, you know, almost spiritually led message that he's trying to do, which is great. And, you know, I look at you as someone who's kind of skipped through having to go through all of those negative experiences, and you're jumping straight into what you're doing is just inspiring such goodness in the world. So I really applaud that.
Thank you. But yeah, talking about Justin Bieber, that is powerful, like seeing that kind of loop and evolution. I was like, whoa, it's very cool.
So yeah, this is really interesting. It's something that I would love to get your perspective on. So, you know, when you look at someone like Justin Bieber, who's been through that change, and, you know, the bigger you grow, that obviously accompanies with more fans, but obviously more kind of critique and negative criticism around you. You know, there have been, and I'm sure there still are, some people who see this reformed version of him and think it's, I don't want to say fake, but a bit of an act, you know, a bit of inauthenticity, that he might be just doing it because he's been told, or he's realized that this is the way to stay out of bad media as much as possible. What do you think of that thought process of people saying that it's not really him, he's not actually like that now?
So in terms of the thought process to the people that think like that, I think, you know, there's always going to be people that think like that, always going to be people that talk like that, because as you said, you know, there's always like the negative side and the positive side. The bigger you get, the more negative, you know, feedback you'll get. But I think if those kind of people that say those kind of things, if you really look back, you know, it's a weird way to think, I think, because, you know, nobody's perfect. And so obviously he's made mistakes. We've seen him make mistakes. But the reason I feel like, you know, it's special and his story is like really powerful is because he obviously came into the music industry when he was younger. And when you're younger, you know, and your whole life is now on social media, you know, like in glass and everyone can see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the mistakes you make as a teenager and now that there's so much pressure, like I feel like for him, it was obviously a tough thing to go through because the music industry, so many people have already said that it's not easy. And if you're a kid and you're basically growing up on a platform where, you know, people know basically your inside life and everything that's going on, there's no privacy, there's no way to go. And, you know, it's easier for him to go to the wrong path than the right path because he's kind of mixed up in it all. Mm. So to those people, I feel like you should really just take a look at everything, honestly, and just see what he's gone through. And I really do think he's changing for the better. And yeah, I mean, personally, I think as you grow older, you grow wiser. So I think it's authentic, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it. And at the end of the day, we're speaking of someone who has a truly global influence, right? Especially exactly. on the younger generation. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe you're someone who's following in that kind of path, right? At the end of the day, you kind of want to bring across that message of, hey, you know, if your words are trying to spread this positive picture and you're hopefully trying to back up the actions to go with that, as long as you're having that positive impact on these people who truly look up to you, then you're already doing the right thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. As long as you're trying your best and you're like actually mean it behind it and you're, you know, doing the right thing, then I think it's good.
And I mean, you share the stage with, you know, other rising stars. So you're, you know, familiar with these kind of people and you did mm-hmm. Feed the Need last year, which is, you know, one example of being with other musical talents who also have that underlying purpose behind what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So do you sometimes, I know you've touched on it already, but do you sometimes find it easier to relate to these people who in many cases are a fair bit older than you versus, you know, like you say, the people in your, say, school environment or playground?
Yeah, for sure. I do find it easier to relate with people older than me, especially like I've said in other interviews and just for me personally, I've always connected and gravitated towards songs with a meaning and artists that write, you know, songs that have, you know, a message and a feeling that the listener can connect to. And so I feel like whenever I'm with artists like that, that's when I have the real connection. And even with other artists, you know, they teach me some technical things and it's amazing. But especially with people older and, you know, that have wisdom and stories to share, I gravitate to that.
Which makes sense. And you know, that's why I think it becomes really important to have someone that you can confide in and, you know, mm-hmm. coaches and mentors. So I believe you have a mentor, right?
Yes, I do. Roxanne Christian.
That's the one. Yeah, Roxanne. How did you meet Roxanne?
How did I meet her? Honestly, I believe I met her when I was very, very young. She was friends with my mom, but she is a music therapist. And I remember, I believe it was grade 4 or 3. And as I mentioned, I'd always wanted to find a way to inspire. I think it was grade 4. And so she would go around to nursing homes. She'd go around to schools, camps, etc. And she'd play music and just, you know, spread love and spread positivity. That was kind of her, you know, her thoughts. And that still is what she does. And so I found her as a huge inspiration because just the way she talked and the way she would like, it was just so calming. And so when I was younger, I actually started volunteering for her and she kind of just like took me in under her wing and just like taught me. And so I'd go to camps with her at schools and I'd play music and just talk to the kids. And it was nice because especially when we went to like nursing homes and played music and just talked to them, they seemed so happy. Mm. And yeah, but she mentors me in like a bunch of different ways.
And what advice would you give to someone who is either struggling to find a mentor or mm-hmm. doesn't really understand the value of one yet?
Well, first, I think if you're looking for a mentor, really just look deep down in yourself. Because I think when you're looking for a mentor, someone that you want to reach out to or someone that can really help you, I think you want someone that you have some similarities to, obviously, so you guys can relate, but also someone that knows more things than you, so older, that can teach you things, you know, and help you navigate your way and your thoughts and your kind of place, I guess, in life. And so for people who don't understand the purpose of a mentor or why people have mentors, I think it really depends on the person. But I think what mentors do is they help strengthen you, like mentally and physically, just because they know more and they're wiser, and they help you just get to connect with people more. Especially for me, I know with music, I'm able, you know, to go to different places, different homes, and talk to different people. And it just allows you to see kind of life from a different perspective. So I think if you're ever like struggling or just want to learn in general, mentors are definitely very inspirational.
And is she someone who's a mentor just for your kind of musical aspirations, or do you see her as more of a mentor across your life?
Honestly, both, to be honest. I think more across my life because I've known her for so long and because she's taught me so much stuff outside of music. So yeah, I relate to her and I always talk to her, and you know, for things more than music. So I think, yeah, both.
No, that's good, because I always think that there's a, it's something that I've mentioned before, but you have mentors and coaches, and it definitely helps to have multiple, but I think the most important thing is someone who genuinely gets you.
Exactly.
And they don't necessarily have to be as qualified as you, right? You know, you may be a better singer, you may even be a better songwriter, but if they know you well enough to ask you the right questions to get you to improve or to tap into a part of you that you haven't been able to yourself, that's what I found to be a really effective sort of life mentor, or that kind of figure in your life.
Exactly. That's when you know that they're the right person to help you, or that's when you know they're doing their job right, I guess.
And okay, so this actually brings me to something that was, I learned off a previous guest, a guy called Lucas on one of the episodes. And he says that we in life come across what's called divine appointments, right? However you want to perceive or where that's come from. And the idea behind a divine appointment is there are moments that occur in everyone's life where something might come across your path and you have that opportunity there to take it. And if you don't, it's an appointment that you've missed, right? But it's something that could completely kind of shift the sort of, I don't want to say the path of your life, but some kind of direction or exactly. add something to it. And so how I see one of the moments in your life is, you know, coming across Angela Sadler Williamson, right? Because that's an amazing thing. So
yes, very.
Cousin of Rosa Parks. But tell us a bit about that experience and the role that that moment played, and whether you'd call that a divine appointment.
I would definitely call that a divine appointment, I think, because it was an amazing opportunity and something I obviously still remember and I'm so, so, so thankful for. And just meeting her, it was so cool because it's like you're close to like your history in a way, because obviously, you know, she's the cousin of Rosa Parks. Like that's Rosa Parks. That's amazing. And it's more than that. Like even herself, Angela, she's just so, you know, down to earth. She's so sweet. And the book that she wrote is just amazing, and so I think that was one of my favorite experiences. I was so happy and I was like, wait, really, you want me to perform? I thought that was really, really cool, and I loved it.
And so what's the next in the phase, not to kind of put too much pressure on yourself to be like, this is where I'm going to go in the next year or the next 3 years, but yeah, you know, what really is the direction that you're looking to take yourself?
So in terms of music, I obviously want to keep writing. You know, the older I get, the more I keep writing, which is so weird because I'm still young. But like, I find writing just an amazing way to like express yourself and to talk to other people and communicate in some ways that like, you know, normal talking or speaking wouldn't be able to do. So I want to continue writing songs, you know, songs that help people, songs that give people hope or spread love. And so that's really my goal. I obviously want to do more music videos. I'm excited. I did one for Make It Right, and that was amazing. And so I have those, some more interviews. And in the long run, I want to do some shows and just, you know, just continue singing.
And where are you looking to? Because I know you've been back to Africa a few times, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember going back to. I've been to Kenya a few times, and I went to Uganda a few years ago.
Ooh.
Yeah. What impact did that experience have on you?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it so much, because the last time I had went, I believe I was six,
mm-hmm.
and when I went back 2019, it was so amazing. And I think it's just, it's so, like, I don't know, maybe wholesome is the word, but just to see all my family there, because I have family in the four main places are England, Australia, and then Africa. And yeah, that's the three main places. And so they all came, and it was just like so kind of overwhelming to see them all there. But it was just so nice to be with my family and kind of see kind of where I'm from. And yeah, I got to see the Mandela House, which is amazing. So I just thought that was kind of like grounding for me. I loved it.
And do they understand what you're looking to achieve? Do they get the kind of underlying passion and the vision that you have?
I do think they do understand. I mean, for a lot of people, I think it's kind of like they understand to a certain level.
Mm.
Like at sometimes they're like, oh, how did you come up with this? You know, questions here and there. But I do believe that they believe, like, you know, my passion and what my goal is. So,
yeah, the reason I ask is because I actually had a conversation with a friend recently. A lot of, not for everyone, but a lot of their life has spent in this mode of, you're kind of either in survival, you know, kind of at one of the extremes, but otherwise it's very much like you do what needs to be done for the sake of, you know, your family and getting them through education and just living, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, we kind of have the fortune where our parents or our grandparents have been through that struggle to get us this place where we can now ask these more existential questions of what influence can I make beyond that? And sometimes they don't get that because they've been in this kind of survival, do what needs to be done framework.
Exactly.
And we get to now explore. So some of them can't relate to the idea of going freelancing because it's like, well, hang on. No, you need security. You need a job that pays and has a sort of direction that you can see where it's going. Whereas something like what you're doing and having great success with it, but there isn't that security around the corner, right?
Guarantee.
Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, now that you mentioned that, like, I see where you're going and I understand. And it's kind of like, yeah, because, you know, that's the way they were raised and the way they were taught, you know, to go into the more secure route or, you know, like be a lawyer, this and that. But at the end of the day, I think they just kind of understand my passion. And I think that's why they support me so much. But I also do want to be a pilot. So, I mean, maybe that plays into the factor why they are fine with like the singing so much. But yeah.
Yeah, I've heard one of your dreams is to be able to fly to your own concerts and gigs, right?
Yep, that is my ultimate goal. I can continue dreaming for that. That'd be amazing.
That is awesome.
Just imagine.
Cool. Yeah.
I was going to say, just imagine though, like you come out of the airplane and then you just like this whole thing extravaganza, you just go on the stage. I don't know, like fireworks. That'd be cool.
That actually, I didn't even think of that, but that's really cool because I pictured of it's cool enough that you would be flying, say if you have a supporting band or dancers or singers or whatever, you would be flying them. Whereas, you know, normally the star act kind of, they sit back and they get taken somewhere.
Exactly.
But what you can really do, and again, not to put any pressure on, you should do this because it'd be amazing. But, you know, if you look at someone like Michael Jackson, right, he put so much of his own mind and creativity into his live performances, right?
Yeah.
Where you were kind of going with that, it's kind of like you're not just flying the plane, but you want to put the whole creativity into that. It's part of the show, right? That you're saying you're flying and there's lights and...
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I don't know, the word I kind of come up with it or the sentence is kind of like driving change in a sense, because I'm like, although I'm not like driving the plane, I'm flying it, but like flying into something like world-breaking or inspirational. Yeah, that's kind of my dream.
That's cool. I love that. Yeah, that's something that I haven't seen it done in that way any before. So that could really be kind of the next the next generation of musical performance / positive change.
Yes, for sure.
Good luck. Hopefully that works. But yeah, I mean...
Thank you.
Thanks so much for sharing that. Before we go into that, the final five, are there any other important messages that you'd like to share?
Well, on most interviews, I do like to share something near the end. So should I share it now?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Or would you rather share it after the final five? We'll get with it now.
After the five.
Yeah?
Oh, okay.
That's up to you.
Okay, I can share it now.
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
And then I can share one after, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do one now, one after.
Okay, sounds good. So I usually share like a quote, something that fits the interview or, you know, whatever's going on. And so for today, I think that no matter where you are or where you're going, remember where you came from. Yeah. And so I said this, I don't know why that just came to me, but I feel like, you know, as you go on your journey and as you go throughout the world, there's always, you know, the world is a noisy, loud place. And there's different people from different backgrounds, you know, that have different thoughts and, like, you know, things they want to do in life. Whereas sometimes you might have a different drive and a different goal than they will have. And so sometimes you can get lost in it all of, like, you know, the negativity outweighing positivity at times. And so I think no matter where you are in life or how much you're struggling, just remember where you came from and just not only be humbled by that, but be grateful for that and just, you know, shine it through what you do. Like, I'm here and I'm thankful because of, you know, my ancestors, stuff like that, and my family. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that so much. And it is perfectly fitting. So the fact that that just came to you, is it ties in so well, because what I used to do previously was review famous immigrant stories. So like Mila Kunis, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. And then I did Francis Ngannou, who's a UFC fighter from Cameroon.
Ooh.
And it's... his story is incredible. If you haven't heard it, then definitely check it out. It's also one of the episodes. Mm-hmm. He really was someone who grew up in Cameroon with very little, very, very little, took mm-hmm. huge risks, not sure how he didn't die, but found his way to, you know, kind of a world champion in fighting. When you hear, he's a scary man when you see him fight, but when you hear him speak, he's so softly spoken and so humble. And he says this exact thing that he could never go back to Cameroon and live there, but mm-hmm. he goes back there often, obviously because his family is there, but also because he goes back as a reminder of
where
he came from, exactly how you've said. Mm-hmm. Some of it was some harsh conditions that he lived in, but he knows he owes it to that, those situations that drove him enough mm-hmm. to make that take that big risk, because mm-hmm. if life was comfortable, he wouldn't have done it. But because he went through so many struggles, it forced him to
exactly
to take those risks and get to where he did. So
yeah, and I think that's really powerful. And it's crazy because I feel like when you see those people, they stand out and they shine different than other people do because of like the thought process they have. And it's just so cool to see.
Mm.
It's very cool.
So I'm so glad you've said that. It's a great way to end on that section. That ties nicely into the final five, where I ask you five questions. You can make them as brief or you can extend on them however you like.
Okay.
So drum roll, please. So question number one, would you say you're more of a morning bird or a night owl?
Night owl. I feel because it is noisy in my house in the morning. And I don't know why, kind of like near afternoon, night, I just feel more productive. That's when I usually like to write my music because it's more quiet and I'm collected with my thoughts. And I don't know, I just, it's so weird because I can be so tired in the morning and then just have this brunt of energy at night.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'm a night owl.
No, it's amazing. And it's, I think people are realizing more and more now that people's like circadian rhythms are different and some people are better at night, right? So it's amazing mm-hmm. that you've identified that already.
Oh, yeah.
And question two, what needs to be pushed in school curriculums that you feel is not focused on enough today?
I think I have two. And I know like a lot of schools do say they push on this. And I know some schools do. But I think to just extend and kind of talk more about not only mental health for my first one, but also like history, and not just like the generalized history that we get taught, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like kind of like more into history and like the things we haven't heard about. Because now that things are getting talked about, I feel like, I know in Canada they've talked about, you know, different stories that have come out recently that weren't talked about before, and different crises. And it's really sad, but it's interesting to see, you know, the things you haven't seen in history books actually be history. So I think it'd be cool in terms of history to just hear other people's perspectives and maybe not lean so much towards the history books, but what other people who have actually been through it have to say, or just, you know, because there's always letters and information and stuff like that that are there. They just need to be, you know, brought out. So that, and also just mental health, because I feel like it's important, you know, it's your part of your being. And, you know, without a good mental health, then you're not able to, you know, be stable person.
And you are seeing, you know, mental health come a lot into the picture nowadays. So I think that's great. But you're right. It's still, I mean, I've only really seen it in the sort of older generations, like once you hit your 20s and 30s. But I think it's a really powerful point that at a younger age, if people are just made aware of it, you know, it will either make them relate to people who are going through it better, or if they are going through themselves, rather than kind of keeping it hidden and embarrassed by it and then making the condition worse.
Or ways to check in with yourself. And I think that's like extremely important, more than like just the ways that are taught, but like just looking and taking a breath, kind of like my song Just Breathe that's coming out soon, but just taking a breath and just kind of like taking it all in and giving yourself some time to breathe, I think is extremely important so that you don't like overwork and overstress yourself.
Beautiful. I love that. And actually, after this final five, I would love to know a bit more about what that song's about. So we will get onto that.
Okay.
But question three, what would you want written about you on your gravestone?
Jaw-dropping.
6 stars out of 5.
Yes, exactly. That'd be amazing. But I think it'd be super cool to like, I don't know if I want something specific. I mean, it'd be cool to see something like amazing on it. But like, just, I don't know. It'd be cool if like, it's not just like a traditional gravestone, like it has my name and everything. But if like people whose lives I've touched or messages like were written over it, I don't know. I think that'd be cool. Just like, you know, to see the inspiration or like, my footwork, what's it called, like what I've left,
your footprint,
you know. Exactly the word I'm looking for, my footprint. I think that'd just be cool, just to see people's, you know, messages there.
Yeah, it's amazing what you've said, because even though it's about you, it's a very selfless way that you've put it, that you know, you haven't just come up with a sentence yourself, but you're saying you want the lives that you've touched to be on it. So it's actually not even about you, but it's about what you've been able to do for all of these other people. And you want that on your gravestone. So I love that.
Thank you.
And number four, once we come out of the pandemic fully, or, you know, that's to say if we ever fully come out of it, but the idea of once we get back to a kind of normal, do you think it would have changed people's social behaviors for the better? Or ultimately, will the majority go back to their old ways?
Ooh, this is a good question. Wow. It's hard to tell. I feel like it kind of, in a way, depends. I really hope we don't go back in a way, because, I mean, there's pros and cons. So, like, for the pros, I know that with COVID and everything, it definitely has taught me to slow down and to really check in with myself, because, you know, obviously, something that was really different that nobody expected and something we can avoid completely. So I think I want to still be able to slow down and still be able to play games with my family, and I want, you know, that for other people too, to continue on just the connection with people. But I feel like although there has been connection, there's also been disconnection during COVID, and that, you know, people are more on their screens now and not really in reality. So I feel like I'd want us to go back to interacting with people, but talking to them, you know, off screen kind of. So I feel like I want a bit of both. I don't know, but I'm not sure honestly, I don't know. I feel like I'm not sure.
It is a tough one.
Yeah.
I guess it is one of those, it comes back to the point of, you know, be the change you want to see, right?
Exactly. So
you can only do your bit, and hopefully people are inspired by that and follow. Mm-hmm. And question five, if you could write down something on a piece of paper, so a note or some advice to yourself, which you could only open again once you're 30 years old, what would you write down?
I would say, I want to think of like, what would I say to myself? I think I would just give myself kind of like a reminder, or maybe like, yeah, either like, you got this, keep working hard, you know, you're doing something positive, just something to lift myself up, since I don't know, you know, what life will be like when I'm 30. But I think just something to inspire myself or to push myself to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd hope so. It's obviously, you don't even know the world, what the world would be like then, right? But
exactly.
It boils down to your why, right? Like, you're closer to your why now. Mm-hmm. And you hope you'll still be that close to your why that much in the future, because then, who knows what's going to happen in that time.
Exactly.
And the bonus question that I do ask everyone is, how would you describe your third culture upbringing or third culture experience in a six-word sentence?
Six-word sentence. Okay. Let me think.
There is some leeway on the number of words. But
okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I would say a change of my perspective and what I kind of, how I carry myself. A change of my perspective and how I carry myself.
Yeah, I like that.
10 words. Yeah, and I would say that because I feel like, you know, when I go back and just look at everything I've been told by, you know, my family, it gets more personal, you know? And I think that's what helps with the things I write. But it feels kind of like, you know, like, wow. And like a connection in a way. I don't really know the words to put the feeling together, but it allows me to look at life differently and really be grateful, because I feel like sometimes I complain for things that shouldn't be complained about. Like, especially now I see like a bunch of things, you know, that, you know, compared to what has happened and what is still happening to some people, it's just like, I'm really grateful. And, you know, it kind of makes you look at the world differently.
That is really powerful. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for sharing that. And before I do forget, I would love to hear more about the next single that's coming out, Just Breathe, and how people can hear it.
Okay, Just Breathe is coming out in the summer, guys. So it is summer now, so stay tuned for that. Oh, I also have another project that I'd love to share after this. But Just Breathe is basically a song I wrote in 2020 as well. And this song is just about slowing down, as I mentioned earlier. And I think that it's really important, because I know for me and like my parents, I see them doing this sometimes. And even just like people I'm watching around me, what they do is that they just like work and work and work and work, and they never really stop. And it's sad to see sometimes, because I see people older than me, you know, on different platforms saying, you know, if I could go back in time and really just give myself some leeway, some time to breathe and just really just take in the moment, I would do that. And it's like, it's so, you know, you want to change that now so that you don't have that thought process later. But Just Breathe is just kind of like an anthem or reminder, you know, to let go sometimes and give yourself, you know, some self-care and just take care of yourself, because you are all you got sometimes. So I think that's really what the message is.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love how you finished that as well with, you are all you've got sometimes, because it's true. The only constant person around us without fail is going to be yourself.
Yeah, that is true.
And what was the other project?
Oh, the second thing. Okay, so basically, I technically can't share too much, but we have Canada Day here in Canada, and it's July 1st. And so usually it's like this huge celebration that everyone goes to, but because of COVID, you know, it's been canceled. And last year, I don't believe there was anything, but this year there is something, and I'm the opening act for it. So
wow.
Just keep your eyes open for that. I'm so happy. It's going to be like, I signed a contract for Rogers a while back, a few months ago, and it was just so cool, and it's going to be aired on different places too. So I'm excited.
And for people that you know, if someone doesn't manage to listen to this before July the 1st, is there a way for them to still hear it or watch it?
Honestly, I believe there is. You could always, honestly, I'm not specifically sure the details yet, but I know maybe if you do search up like Canada Day performance and then Bolu Sings, then I know there will be some online streaming platforms available, but for now, I think that's like the best bet.
Otherwise, I'm sure they could find it through your channels, right? So
yes, true.
How would people get hold of your channels?
Okay, so for, I have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
Yes.
My Facebook and my YouTube channel is Bolu Sings, capital B and S. So that's Bolu Sings. And then I have for Twitter, Facebook, I don't know if I said that. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it is Bolu Sings 1, as well as my LinkedIn. So I know for sure Instagram is usually where I post mainly. So it'll definitely be on my Instagram and then probably my other socials as well.
Awesome. And I'll put those into show notes so people can just click through and find you. And I really, really hope that people, you know, resonate and take on board what you've said. And, you know, you've said it yourself, whether you touch a few people or loads of people, it's the message that you're trying to spread that you hope they connect with. So again, from my end, even if it touches one person who's listening, but no doubt it will be plenty more, please, please, please do reach out to her. She's awesome. I've now had the chance to speak to the girl behind all the inspiration, and I'm looking forward to seeing where your journey takes you.
Thank you. Me too.
And a big thanks to you for listening in. I hope that this was as eye-opening for you as it was for me. Let's not forget, my aim of the show is to spotlight the lives and experiences of the guests so that you can see whether you can relate to and apply some of their lessons and perspectives to your own situation. If you are able to connect with something that was discussed, share this episode with someone who can resonate or possibly has a similar story to share. Tag them on Instagram. You can find the podcast page by searching The Journey Onwards Podcast or by following the link in the description. People ask me what my end goal is for the podcast. Along with connecting deeper with all the interesting people in my own life, I'm also building out a platform where each of you can showcase your experience and passions from the lens of being third culture individuals and share this to an audience. If you're interested to be a part of this growing network, then head over to podcast.thejourneyonwards.com/tribe, leave me your email address and I will be in touch with the details. As always, I am super grateful for the feedback that you sent to me, as well as your reviews on Apple Podcasts, which I notice are going up, so I cannot thank you enough. I'll be back next week for another episode, so until then, I hope your next week is even better than the last.